It's on this perm. Baruch Hashem. All right, so the Yom Tov of Purim is unique. You know, tzaddikim say that every Yom Tov you have to approach it as if it's the ultimate Yom Tov. In other words, whatever Yom Tov you're holding by, that's the Yom Tov. Right? So when you're making hachanas for Rosh Hashanah, so Rosh Hashanah has to be, wow, Rosh Hashanah is the greatest Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is the greatest Yom Tov. Sukkot is the greatest Yom Tov. In a certain way, in a certain mysterious way, we have to all almost be maskim to the fact that Purim truly is, certainly now, this close to Purim, we have to be maskim that Purim is our Yom Tov. That's where we're holding. But more than that, in a certain sense, Purim really is the ultimate, it really is the ultimate Yom Tov. And the Yerushalmi says in Maseches Megillah, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, very interesting discussion. In source number one, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hanavim v'haksuvim asidim libatel. So much has been written just trying to crack the mystery of Rabbi Yochanan's words. That sometime, somewhere in the future, Nevi'im and Ksuvim is going to be batal. Nach. We're not going to have Nach anymore. What does it mean? It's going to be batal. The Chamesha Sifrei Torah ain't on the Nesidim libatel. But the Chumash is forever. Chamesha Chumshei Torah Smorisha, That's forever. My time, says the Gemara. My time in Yerushalmi means what's the makor, what's the source? Kol gadol v'lo yasaf. Right? The voice of the Torah is a kol gadol, as Uncle says, v'lo yasaf v'lo pasak. It's a voice that never stops. In other words, the Dvar Hashem is forever. But Nevi'im uksuvim, when Mashiach comes and somewhere in the future, it's going to be batal. Comes along Reish Lakish, and there's so much to think about Reish Lakish as the paradigmatic Baal Tshuva, Reish Lakish. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish and he says an unbelievable thing. Af Megillas Esther v'halachos eino nasidin libatel. Megillas Esther is also forever. Megillas Esther is never going to be batal. Along with the halachos of Torah Shu'al Peh and the Chumash and the Torah. Nemer kan kol gadol v'lo yasaf v'nemer lahalan v'zichrom lo yasaf mizaram. Just like it says about the Torah, it's a strong voice that never stops. So too, regarding Purim, v'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. Regarding the Megillah, v'zichram, zechira means the kriyas ha-Megillah. The zechira is also lo yasuf mizaram, is never going to stop. Reish Lakish says that the Megillah is forever. That's how the Rambam paskins. It's the last halacha in Hilchos Megillah. Such an interesting halacha, not on the page in front of us, but such an interesting halacha where the Rambam says that when Mashiach comes, lasid lavo, all we're going to have is the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Megillah Esther. A unique category. It's an unbelievable thing. It's not true only about the Megillah. The Rambam goes further. The Rambam says, and Purim also is a holiday that is forever. Where did he get such an idea? That's a Medrash in Mishlei. The Medrash in Mishlei says on the Pasuk, Tavcha Tivcha Mascha Yena, that Esther knew how to make a party. She knew how to prepare the feast. She knew how to draw the wine, to prepare the wine. Am Rabbi Abo, Zo Esther Amalka. What does she do? When the Jews were in trouble, Esther knew how to prepare a suda, and she got him incredibly drunk at the suda. Right? She gave him a lot of wine to drink, and the Rasha thought he was giving her kavod, but really she was laying a trap. Says the Medrash. Says the Medrash where it's bold at the end of that pasuk. Af orcha shulchana. She also set the table. She prepared the table. What does that mean? That Esther, through her efforts, archala shulchan bolam haza uva olam haba. We set the table for the Purim suda, not only in this world, but also in the next world. Ve'eze, what does that mean? She set the table in this world and the next world. Ze, shem tov shekansala bolam haza olam haba. Esther made a good name for herself in this world and the next world. Right? Her yomtiv is the ultimate yomtiv. Shekol ha-mo'adim, says the Medrash, unbelievable. All of the mo'adim asidim betelim, they're going to be batal lasid lavo, v'yamei ha-purim enam betelim l'olam. But Purim is forever. Purim is forever. Mor v'shemesh says that lasid lavo is going to be a bechina of yom shekulo Purim. Now, I don't imagine it's going to look like, you have to think about what that means. What does it mean that lasid lavo is yom shekulo Purim? But there's something about the yomtiv of Purim that taps into a certain eternal quality, that the Megillah is forever. Right? And the Yom Tov is forever. And again, that's how the Rambam passes. The Rambam ends Hilchos Megillah by saying that the Megillah will never be batal, and that the Yom Tov of Purim will never be batal. So we have to think about what that means for us, practically. What does that mean? Right? Again, I don't want to focus on what it means that Pesach is going to be batal, and Shavuos is going to be batal. The Ravid writes on that Rambam, what does that even mean? I mean, again, the Rambam didn't make it up. He's rooted in Chazal. But what exactly does batel even mean in this context is a good question. But if there's something eternal about Purim, so we have to think, what does that mean for us, b'derech avoda, right now? I mean, it means that there'll be a Purim Suda in the future. Okay. It means that lasa lava when you take Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, and Yecheskel off the shelf, because Navi is batel, so you'll keep Megillas Esther on the shelf. Okay. But what does that mean? Lemaisa, what does that mean for us in terms of our avoda? So we know that after we read the Megillah, we're going to sing a song. It's a very mysterious, beautiful song. Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahalav Esamecha. Right? The Shoshana. The Zohar, in the Hagdama to the Zohar, talks a lot about the Shoshana. Shoshana is Gematria Esther, 661. What's the secret of the Shoshana? You know, Kishoshana ben Achochim, Kein Rayasi, right? Like it says in Shir HaShirim, like a rose among the thorns. The secret of the Shoshana, Migra actually has an incredible comment, in his commentary on Shir HaShirim on this, the secret of the Shoshana is its ability, the Migra says that even if the Shoshana gets pierced by one of the thorns, it has an ability to almost heal itself. In other words, the Shoshana can't be stopped. It grows in a very, it's a very delicate flower, and it grows in such a dangerous location. It's surrounded by thorns on all sides. And yet, that's part of the beauty of the Shoshana. Its ability to survive among the thorns, you know, similar to the imagery of us as a sheep among the wolves, and somehow we survive amongst the Umas HaOlam. Netzach Yisrael lo yeshaker. There's something about the eternity of Klal Yisrael, and maybe that's part of the secret of Purim. Why is the Megillah forever? Why is the Yom Tov Purim forever? Because maybe it's a celebration of what? The indestructible nature and the mahus of Klal Yisrael. So we sing, Shoshanas Yaakov. You'll ask, why is it Yaakov? It should be Shoshanas Yisrael. But Yaakov, as we're going to see, Yaakov, as the Ramban says, is the term we use for a Jew in a low place. Yisrael represents, right? Yisrael Sarara. That's the nobility of Klal Yisrael. That's the loftiness of the Jewish people. Yaakov is the akev, is the heel, it's the bottom. That even when a Jew is in a low place, he mamish survives like a Shoshana. Right? Even a lowly Jew, you know, tzaddikim say, it's a delicate thing to say, but as Jews we should, you know, among our own people we can say the truth and we can believe it. That tzaddikim say that when a Jew says the bracha, shaloh asani goy, what's the kavana? So a person might think, shaloh asani goy means, I picture, you know, I got into an elevator yesterday in YU with Rav Meir Tursky. So I got to go from ground floor to fourth floor, a 10-second ride, just me and Rav Tursky. Right? And you just saying good morning to Rav Tursky, just being like, you know, a little yechidus in the elevator with Rav Tursky for 10 seconds, right? You look at Adam Gadol. You see even the way he just says Shalom Aleichem in the morning. And you see, you know, the grandeur of Yiddishkeit, right? So you say like, oh, I picture of Tversky, and then I picture Shaloh Asani Goy, I picture a really lowly, right, a lowly, immoral, you know, degraded human being. And I say, oh, Shaloh Asani Goy. Tzaddikim say that it's the exact opposite Kabbalah. You should picture the most refined, sensitive, moral, ethical non-Jew, and you should picture the most broken, schleppy Nebuch Yid. And from that place you say, Adayin, I still say Shaloh Asani Goy. Because when we really understand that Purim is Megala, part of the secret of Purim is being Megala, that part of a Jew, that even when it's a Yaakov, Shoshanas Yaakov, Salav Esamecha, Birosam Yachet, Tcheles Mordechai, right? Chua Sam Hayisa Lanetzach, Hashem saves us, Pashup Shad is Hashem saves us in every generation, but Chua Sam Hayisa Lanetzach is also can be understood, the Chua, the salvation of Klal Yisrael is itself eternal. And Purim, more than any other holiday, proves the eternal nature of Klal Yisrael, because Purim is forever, the Megillah is forever. What did they see when they saw Mordechai in Tcheles that they were so nispal from? Again, Mordechai came out in royal begadim. They saw that, you know, the tide had turned. But what exactly was it about Tcheles Mordechai that they were so nispal from? So the Shem Yishmuel has an incredible comment. The Shem Yishmuel says in the name of his father, he quotes the Avnei Nezer in source number 4. He says the following at the end of the first line. He says, my father said that when Klal Yisrael realized, Kishir Gishu Asma Alasam, they saw we actually won. Right? They were shocked. We won. Right? We can't believe it. Right? Vinahafachu. Adayin hispaim rucham bekirpam. But there was still this uncertainty. Their hearts were still pounding in such a way that they were unsure. Im Yishar Lahem La'achar Zman Mizehis alis muma. Will this elevation that we achieved on Purim, will it last? Is this going to continue? Ki ulai l'umas shabah ken yelech. Because maybe as quickly as it came, it'll be overturned, you know? Sometimes a person gets all excited, things are finally looking up, and then the next thing you know, boom, right back to where we were. And in a certain sense, that is true to the Purim story, right? We don't say halal because we're still living under Achashverosh, even though we're no longer threatened by Haman and Amalek. But says the Avnei Nezer, you know what happened? When they saw Mordechai's Tcheles, the Jewish people got such chizik from that. Why? What's the secret of Tcheles? Aval berosim Tcheles Mordechai, what's Tcheles? Tcheles himara she'ina mishtanes. What is Tcheles? What makes Tcheles Tcheles? How do you know if it's Tcheles, or maybe it's some type of fake knockoff Tcheles? How do you know if it's real Tcheles? One of the simanim that the Gemara gives of the Chilazon is that what? Is that the color doesn't fade. The color holds. When they saw Mordechai and Tcheles, they said, you know what? This is forever. Right? They didn't walk out of Purim thinking like, all right, we just made it through this time, but who knows if next time we'll survive. They saw the Tcheles and they said, wait a minute, we're the eternal people. We're Netzach. That's what they realized. The thing that distinguishes Tcheles from, again, from other forms of falsifications of Tcheles is that what? Is that its color lasts. And therefore the Jewish people said, wow, this miracle is forever. And this miracle proves more than any other experience in Jewish history that what? That Klal Yisrael is forever. That no one can destroy Klal Yisrael. That was the chizik that they got when they saw Tcheles Mordechai. What is it? What is it about us that gives us this koach to survive? And why did we survive on Purim? Right? In other words, what is it? Why is it impossible to destroy the Jewish people? Probably one of the greatest personalities in our whole history that represents that absolute belief. It's really a Beis Medrash that represents that belief. His Rebbe believed it, but he in many ways carried it forward. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rashbi makes space for everybody. Actually, we just learned today, we're learning the fourth parak of Brachos now. So we did the Agadata today, the story where a certain Talmud went to Rabbi Gamliel and then went to Rabbi Yeshua and said, is Ma'ar of Chova, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel got into their whole machlokas, and Rabbi Yeshua was embarrassed, and Rabbi Gamliel got removed, and Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah was appointed, Harayani Kven Shivim Shana, v'chulu. And at the very end of this, and what happened? They removed Rabbi Gamliel. The day they removed Rabbi Gamliel, they appointed Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Gamliel only allowed the elite Talmidim into the Beis Medrash. You have to be Tocho Kabaro. Right? They say, how do you know it's Tocho Kabaro? How do you prove if your inside and outside is the same? They say from the Kotzker that anyone who was willing to push past the guards, there was a guard by the door. Anyone who climbed through the window, it was Tocho Kabaro. If you cared enough, if they told you, like, you're not welcome here, and you walked away, you obviously didn't care. You weren't Tocho Kabaro. If you're willing to jump through the window, that was a raya that you were Tocho Kabaro. Right, so the story goes on. That day they removed the guard from the door of the Beis Medrash. And the Gemara says there were 400 new rows of Talmidim, 400 benches of Talmidim. One opinion says 700 benches of Talmidim. And Rabbi Gamliel is all depressed. He said, oh, maybe I kept Jews from learning Torah. The story goes on and on and on. It was a big day for learning. The Gemara describes it was an incredible day. Misachas Adios was taught that day. Whenever you have a, you know, Bo Bayom is mentioned in Shas, it refers to that day. And finally get to the very end of the story, at the end of Chav Ches, Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says, by the way, who was the Talmud who got this whole thing started? By asking his Mar, who shopped around for his Psak, you know, went to Rabbi Gamliel, then went to Rabbi Yeshua. Then went to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said, Chov. He said, oh, I heard from Rabbi Yeshua differently. God, that's whole, who started this whole Machlokas? The Gemara concludes that who was the Talmud? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I don't want to say things that aren't true, right? I can't prove it. I certainly can't prove it, and certainly such a delicate story. I wouldn't say it with confidence. But maybe, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had this whole plot to cause this machlokas, knowing how people would respond, having Rabbi Gamliel removed, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would come into play, the Beis Medrash would be opened, and thousands more people would learn Torah. Why? Because that is Shitas Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Like it says in the Beis Aaron of Karlin's famous line about Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Shimon Lakol. Rabbi Shimon's for everyone. Just like he says, just like Hashem is for everyone, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is for everyone. And we see it. We see the types of Jews who gather in Meiron on Lag BaOmer. It's a strange thing. Everyone wants to be close to Rabbi Shimon. You know why? Because Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Kalish, makes space for people. Not 1,000 people come to hear Rabbi Kalish. What's the secret sauce? What's his special thing that we packed the shul this week? The answer is because when you see someone who creates such a positive energy around them and makes space for people, so people want to be drawn into that. So Rishon Bar Yochai is the ultimate example of someone who believes in Nishmas Yisrael, the eternity of the Jewish people. He'll never give up on a Jew. So the Gemara tells us Rishon Bar Yochai and his Talmidim had a conversation. They asked Rishon Bar Yochai in Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, why were the Jews of that generation worthy of destruction? In other words, we were handed over to Haman. Why did Hashem hand us over to Haman? So Rashbi was a good Rebbe. He asked his Talmidim back. He said, you tell me. What do you think? So they said, we think because the Jews went to Achashverosh's Suda. So Rashbi says, but if that's true, then only the Jews of Shushan should be killed because only the Jews of Shushan went to the party. So they said, okay, Rebbe, you tell us. So Rishon Bar Yochai says, because they had bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue in the previous generation. And that was something that affected Klal Yisrael. So then they said, okay, so Rebbe, if that's true, then why were we spared? If we were so bad, if Klal Yisrael was actually so bad, so why did God spare us in the end? Why weren't we killed on Purim? Right, does Hashem favor us? They asked Rishon Bar Yochai. Of course, the answer to that is yes. Yisa Hashem panav elecha. That's the Gemara Brachos. Right, but they asked, that, does Hashem favor us? And how does Rashbi respond? Where it's bolded in source number 5. Rashbi says, no, you have to understand. Even when a Jew bows down to a Avodah Zarah, Heim lo asu el lefanim, afa kadosh baruch hu lo asu iman el lefanim. They only acted on the surface. Even as they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, in their heart of hearts, a Jew never worships Avodah Zarah. It was only, they were under pressure, they gave in, they probably shouldn't have bowed, okay, beseder. But sof kol sof, they did what they did. But Rishon Bar Yochai says, but if you look a little bit deeper, you'd realize they never really bowed down to the statue. What do you mean? I'll show you the video. I'll play back the film, right? We have images of that. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, no, it was only lefanim. It was only on the surface. So Kadosh Baruch Hu also scared us on the surface. Hashem gave an outward presentation of, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. But just like our sin was only on the surface, it never penetrated to the depths of a Jewish heart. So too, Kadosh Baruch Hu acted with us exactly the same way. Kadosh Baruch Hu only scared us on the surface. Kadosh Baruch Hu never intended to kill us. You know, when Rabbi Kalish was here the other night, so someone came over to him to ask for a bracha, right at the beginning when he first got here. So Rabbi Kalish said, I'm trying to remember who it was, who came over to him. But he said to whoever it was, he said, Yamali Hashem Mishalas Libcha L'Toyva. Hashem should fulfill the desires of your heart. And then Rabbi Kalish said, to whoever this person was, I don't remember, he said, can I tell you why I like that bracha? Can I tell you what I like about that bracha? He said, I like that bracha because I really believe that what Jews want in their heart is good. It's a funny bracha, right? Hashem should grant your heart's every desire. What if your heart has bad ideas? Just turn to the second side for a second. Now, where does that nusach come from? We say it on Rosh Chodesh, in source number 9. It's a Gemara in Brachos. When Rav would finish davening, he would say this Yehi Ratzon. We're familiar with it. Rav, it sounds like Rav put this into every Shmona Esrei. We do it once a month. Yehi Ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu shetiten lanu chayim aruchim, chayim shal shalom, chayim shal tova, chayim shal bracha, chayim shal pranasa. We know this nusach. And it concludes, chayim shetamali lanu eskol mishalas libenu letova. That Hashem should answer all the desires, the requests of our heart in a good way. Says the Rashash on that Gemara, what's the point of the word letova? Hashem should answer your heart in a good way, in the right way. Says the Rashash in source number 10, Nira. Because sometimes a person says, Rabbon Shalom, give me this or give me that. I'm davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want like this or I want like that. And he's medam in his mind. There's a dimyon. He imagines that it's for his benefit. But really, it's not good for him. That's part of the secret of the drinking on Purim, that there's a certain humility that we express through Adlo Yada to say, I don't really know who's who at the end of the day. Am I more thankful to Mordechai or more thankful to Haman? Without a Haman, we don't have this Yom Tov, right? So, Aru Haman, Baruch Mordechai, right? They have the same Gematria, 502, Aru Haman, Baruch Mordechai. I want to get to a place, not Chas V'Shalom to say Aru Mordechai, but maybe to believe in some mysterious way, Baruch Haman, maybe something good came from Haman. Maybe I have to have a Karas Tov to Haman. Do I really know what's good or what's not good for me? So we daven Hashem should fulfill the desires of our heart in a good way, says the Rashash. Because I don't really know what's good or what's bad for me. Right? He quotes a pasuk in Mishlei that expresses that idea. And then he says that it's like the Rambam writes at the end of, in the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Brachos, on Chayav Adam Levarich Ala Ra, Kashem Shemavarich Ala Tova. I have to say thank you to Hashem for the bad things, those things that are, there's a perception that they're bad. Like I say thank you to Hashem for the good things, because I don't really know what's good or what's bad. I don't really know what's truly good and what's truly bad. But Rabbi Kalish's Vard is not this Rashash. This Vard from the Rashash says, I have to hedge my bets with the Rabbanu Shalom. I'd say, Rabbanu Shalom, I want things. Some things I want are probably not good for me, so Hashem only grant the things that are correct. Rabbi Kalish is saying different. Rabbi Kalish said, no. I believe that if it's coming from your heart, if it's coming from a Jewish heart knows what it wants. And it wants good. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, because the averos that we do are only on the surface. There's a part inside of us, and that's, again, part of the mystery and the secret of why Purim is forever, why the Megillah is forever, because there's a part of us that's forever untainted. There's a part of us that remains forever pure. And nothing in the world could take that away. Haman knows that. Haman understands that. Haman decides, if I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael, I've got to get them at their shoresh. We were in a low place. The pashtus of La'yehudim ha'isa ora v'simcha v'sason v'ikar. The way the Gemara learns it. La'yehudim ha'isa ora, ora zu Torah. The mashmaos is that we didn't have Torah. Prior to the salvation of Torah, we were not in a good place with Torah. La'yehudim ha'isa ora, simcha, sason v'ikar, yom tov, tefillin, bris milah. It sounds like we weren't doing these things. Rashi says maybe Haman made decrees against it. Or maybe we're in a low place. Yehudim, we're called Yehudim throughout the Megillah. Yehudim, the Gemara says, is a name that we give to anyone who's kofir b'avodah zarah. You don't worship idols. It's not like such a graisa level of Yirah Shamayim, of Shmiras HaMitzvot. We weren't in such a great place. We're not in such a great place. And yet, Haman understands that there's this thing called the Pintel Liyid, that if I can't uproot it, if I can't dig out a Jew at the depths, then I'll never be able to destroy Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Haman's going for that. Let's take a look at source number 6. Let's go back for a second. Mordechai finds out, Vayagedlo Mordechai is kol asher karo. Mordechai finds out everything that's happening. As parshas hakesef asher amar Haman lishkol al ginzei hamelech vayehudim. He hears how Haman had made an offer to Achashverosh to buy out the Jews, the ginzei hamelech vayehudim, la'abda, to destroy them. Right? Haman made his offer. And Mordechai is running in the streets and he's crying and he's so afraid, so nervous. There's an unbelievable sefer Rav Yair and I were looking at it last night from the Rebbe of Kamarna. It's such a wild sefer on Megillas Esther. It's called Kesem Ophir. The whole thing is like Al Pi Kabbal. He explains every word of the Megillah. Like, I don't know how these tzaddikim think of this stuff. It's a really hard sefer. Like you learn it and you don't understand any of it, but you still love it. So the Kesem Ophir, again, you get like a line here or there where you chop something. So the Kamarna Rebbe in source number 7, he says an unbelievable thing. What did he say? What did Haman want to do? Haman wanted to what? To buy the Jews. And he says, Achashverosh, he says to the Melech, can I place this exorbitant sum of money into the Ginzei HaMelech by Yehudim La'abdam? Can I put it into the Ginzei HaMelech? Now, why do I care where? Why did Haman say, can I put the money into the Ginzei HaMelech? Ginzei HaMelech means the king's treasury, right? Where the king keeps his crown, you know, the crown jewels, right? The most guarded possessions of the king. Why can't Haman say, I don't know, hand over the money, put the money on the counter, I don't know, put it on the table. Haman says, can I deliver this money to buy the Jews? Can I place it in the Ginzei HaMelech, the king's secret, treasure house? What's the pshat? So says the Kamarna Rebbe in the bottom source, V'chol Eitzos Shel HaMalek Agag, the entire plot, the entire technique, the entire desire of a Malik, and in the embodiment of the Amaleki king Agag, right, the one who snuck by, the one who Shaul HaMelech didn't finish off. The whole plot, the whole plan, the whole desire, everything that they're going for, Al Hay Nekudas Yud Shebesoch Kol Lev Yisrael. What we call in the vernacular the Pintel Yid. What's the Pintel Yid? The Pintel Yid means the point within the Jew that is just pure, no matter what. It's the Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi Tahorahi. It's the fact that I have a neshama, and nothing of this world no matter how filthy it is, can damage that, can take that away. The truth is we didn't really finish in the second source, in the Medrash and Mishlei, because the Medrash says there's another opinion about another thing that's not going to be bata lasid level. You know what it is. What is it? Yom Kippur. Purim is forever, and Yom Kippurim is forever. What's the relationship between Purim and Yom Kippur? On the one hand, they seem like total opposites, right? But they both bring out a certain nekuda, which is what? The goodness of a Jew. The part of me that's so pure. And Yom Kippur, we understand how it comes out. I'm dressed in white, and I'm davening, and I'm fasting, and I'm angelic. But Purim actually, and the reason Purim's on a higher level, Purim says an even bigger chiddush. Purim says, even when a Jew is in a low place, again, going back to the Shaloah Sanigai, even when I'm in a really low place, a Yid is still an unbelievable thing. And the Shama is something that can't be destroyed, that can't be tainted. Now, the Rambam has his famous passage where he says that, Lo Aleinu, you have a husband who refuses to give his wife a get. Right? So the Rambam writes, Hilchos Gerushin, what do? Based on the Mishnah. Kofen Oso, Hachiyomai Rotsani. Right? We beat the person up until he agrees to give the get. So the Rambam, when he records this halacha, which is straight out of the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Rambam says it sounds like a joke. Right? A get has to be given willingly. So we grab this guy, we force him, we beat him up until he utters the magic phrase, Rotza ani, I want to give the get. And then we say, oh, that's called giving the get willingly. The Rambam says this is a game. We're playing a game with halacha. The Rambam, I always say, he waxes poetic, he becomes very chassidically inclined in this moment. And the Rambam says, no, you have to understand, in the heart of every Jew, he wants to do right. That's what Rabbi Kalish was saying. Yimali Hashem kol mishalas libcha. Hashem should fill the desires of your heart because your heart is good. Your heart knows the right thing. Right? So the Rambam says, when we force him to do the right thing, because what type of sick person would hold his wife hostage like that? The marriage is over. You're going to hold her in a guna? You're going to hold her a chained woman? You're not going to give her a proper get so she can't move on with her life? What kind of sick person are you? So when we beat this person up to the point that he says, Rotza ani, I want to do what Hashem wants me to do, when he utters that phrase, he means it. It's coming. His Yetzirah, the Rambam says, is holding him back from doing the right thing. So what day of the calendar year? What day of the calendar year is the day where every Jew says, Rotza ani, I want to be a Yid. I want to be a good Jew. Right? It's Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. We have a notion of Jews who only show up, a Yom Kippur Jew. You've heard the expression, right? It's a sad reality, but it's also a very beautiful thing that, all right, at least this person, their neshama wakes up on Yom Kippur and says, you know what? If the rest of the year I don't do anything, on Yom Kippur, Rotzani, I want. I want to do what's right. Rav Moshe Wolfson writes in his farm, he says that Rotzani is Gematria Yom Kippur. Rotzani is Gematria Yom Kippur, 362, I think. Kippur spelled without a yud, the way it's spelled in the Torah. Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. 362. It's Gematria, exact Gematria, Rotzani. Because Yom Kippur is the day where every Jew says, I want to be a good Jew. So Purim is also that day, in a funny kind of way. Right? In a Purim, I remove my das a little bit, my intellectual understanding of my worthiness to be a Jew, and I'm able to open my heart, Yimali Hashem, Mishalas Libcha, the Jewish heart, which is pure, which is good, and I'm able to say, I want to be a Jew. I want to be a Yid. I want to be a Jew. I'm proud to be a Jew. Right? It says the Kamar Nereba. That's what Haman's trying to destroy. Haman Amalek, continuing in source number 7, Haman and Amalek, they want to get to that Nekuda of a Yud, the Pintel of Yid, that little spark within that's found in the Lev Yisrael, not in the mind of every Jew, found in the heart of every Jew. Shehu Etzem Elokus Ur Ein Sof. That's the God spark. Right? That's the godliness within inside a person. It's the light, the infinite light. And the Shema is forever. Your body is not forever. Right? We should all live happy and healthy, long lives. But our body is not forever. Which part of me is Netzach? Chua sam ha'yisa la Netzach. Which part of me can I celebrate forever? Which part is forever? It's my neshama. So Haman, in a very mysterious way, he's going for that part of a Jew. And you know how much we believe in that part of a Jew? You know how beautiful, and sometimes even in tragic ways, the beauty of that part of the Jew expresses itself? Look what he writes here. They're powerful words. And they ring incredibly true, even in our times. Shocking. Sha'alav neharag v'nitzlav v'nisraf ish Yehudi al kedushas shmo hagadol. What is it that brings a Jew to the willingness to be killed, to be hanged, right, to be burnt alive as a Jew, to be killed as a Jew for the sake of Hashem's name? Right? What is it that the enemy is so desperate to destroy? And what is it that even in those moments where we're ready to make that sacrifice, I'm willing to give up my life because I'm still laughing. I'm still saying Shema, so you still can't destroy me. Rabbi Akiva's crying out, ha, laughing at his enemies. Right? Rabbi Akiva was always laughing. Laughing at his enemies. And his Talmid are like, Rabbi, how could you say Shema at a time like this? Rabbi Akiva's like, don't you get it? So my body's not anymore. My neshama is forever. Chuasam ha'yisal ha'netzach. And if I'm no longer, well, Klal Yisrael is not going to survive. Klal Yisrael always survives. And says the Kesem Ofir, says the Kamar Nereba, V'hu ginze ha'melech asher ba'yehuda. That's why Haman wanted so badly to get, what's the ginze ha'melech? What's the treasure? What's the treasure house inside of each and every one of us? That's the Pintaliyot. So he's negotiating with the melech, and it's interesting. The Kamar Nereba doesn't say it, but let's play it out for a second. So what happens? What is Hamelech, which represents Hashem in the Megillah? What does Hamelech say to Haman? No, Shlomo Zalman, what's the pasuk? He says back to him, he says, keep the money, right? He says, keep your money and do what you want with the Jews. Yeah? I think that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not going to buy the Ginzei Hamelech. No one gets the Ginzei Hamelech. You can mess around with the Jews a little bit. A lot of people mess around with the Jews. A lot of people give us trouble throughout history. But when the Melech says to Amalek, says, no, you can't, you keep your, don't go near the Ginzei HaMelech. Stay away from the Ginzei HaMelech. You want Klal Yisrael? Sure, I'll give you a perception you could have Klal Yisrael. But you can toy around with Klal Yisrael. And that's a very painful part of our history. But the Ginzei HaMelech, you will never touch the Ginzei HaMelech, asher by Yehudim la'abdam. That part you're never going to touch. The Ginzei HaMelech by Yehudim. Right? Ginzei HaMelech by Yehudim is Gematria Lev Tahar. Right, 252, the pure part of a Jew. The untouchable part of a Jew. Leif Tahor Barali Elokim. Say it however you want. You could say that pasuk. You could say, Elokai Neshamash Nasata Bi Tahorhi. It's all saying the same thing. You could say, Chuasam Hayisal Lenetzach. You could say, Mordechai is wearing Tcheles. It's a color that never fades. You could say, Perm is forever. You could say it a million different ways, but it's all saying the same thing. Right? And that's part, the reason Perm is forever, the reason Megillas Esther is forever, is because it represents, again, that part of a Jew that is always pure, and that we can still love even in a lowly state. It's interesting, you know, there was a tzaddik from Denver, Colorado, Rav Shlomo Tursky Zatzal. Rav Shlomo Tursky Zatzal was an incredibly deep person. He has a small sefer called Malchus Shlomo. So he says in there, he says, we know that there was a machlokus between the two famous brothers, Rav Elimelech of Lizhansk and the Rebbe of Zusha, about what's the better way to work on getting to know Hashem. Right? How do I get close to Hashem? Should I focus on, should I meditate, should I work on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great? Or should I think about the smallness of myself? Which one will actually, right? And they went to the Magid of Mezritch to ask the Shaila. And he told them that shiflus is the right way. And that's a question, who held what? And the Pashtus is Rav Elimelech held godless Adam, right? And Rav Zusha held shiflus. Okay, but he told them, the better way is through shiflus. So the Malchus Shlomo says, we have a Yom Kippur and we have a Purim. Yom Kippur, we see the godless Adam. Look how I can become an angel. Right? Look how I can stay in shul, you know, come out the whole day, davening, and I'm fasting, and I'm angelic, mamish angelic, and I can give up my physical desires in so many different ways, and I can just be with the Ribono Shel Olam. That's Yom Kippur. But the truth is, the Magid said that the way to get closer to Hashem, in a certain sense, is through shiflus adam. What's shiflus? A Purim is shiflus adam. The way that the Malchus Shlomo says it, he says, because what happens on Purim? Purim reminds us how delicate we are, right? How easily a person can be knocked off course. What makes us a human being? What gives us our chashivas? Rashi says we have das, and we have the koach hadibor. So all of a sudden, you have two glasses of wine, and next thing you know, your das isn't clear, and your dibur is not as clear. And look how low you are. Look how quickly you lose your humanity. So what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to say with that on Purim? We're trying to say that even when I throw away my das, and even when I look like I've lost something, but I still have the Ginzei HaMelech. There's nothing that can take that away. Not Haman, right? Not a glass of wine. Nothing can take that away. One of my favorite Torah teachings in the world, and I say that very, very literally. I'm not exaggerating. Is this idea in source number 8? It's an unbelievable idea. I was once zochet to share this in Mezhbuz in the makom where the Baal Shem Tov, you know, Baal Shem Tov's shul is. I shared it once at a shalashudas there. I was zochet one time to be in Mezhbuz for a Shabbos. I don't even know what the Sefer is. I have the Sefer at home. It's Birchas Av. I don't know much about the author, but he said it so clearly. He said there's three different ways that tzaddikim were malamei tzchus, were able to look at a Jew in the right way. Let's do Beis and Gimel first, then we'll come back to Aleph. How did the Rebbe Reb Zusha look at a Jew? The Rebbe Reb Zusha lo ra'a klal rabbi Yisrael v'rab ham achto v'chesed. The Rebbe Reb Zusha only saw good by Jews. The Rebbe Reb Zusha only knew how to see good by Jews. Right? He couldn't even see you were doing something bad. How did the Berditchev, Gimel, how did Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev see Jews? He was the great defender of the Jewish people. What would he do? Shara es hara, v'hipech es hara al yedei hasaniguria shalo letova. Rav Levi Yitzchak saw what ostensibly looked like you were doing an improper thing, but he'd make up a whole story to explain, wow, you're so holy, you're such a tzaddik, right? He would be mahapech l'rav, v'nahofachu. He'd turn it into a holy thing. He would explain why what you're doing was gvaldik, even though he could see that it wasn't gvaldik. Rav Zusha Pashut couldn't see it. Rav Levi Yitzchak was mahapech. But I can guarantee you, if we were sitting right here with the Baal Shem Tov right now, and we were sitting with Rav Levi Yitzchak, and we were sitting with Rav Zusha, and we asked Rav Zusha and Rav Levi Yitzchak, who's on a higher madrega, you or the Baal Shem Tov? Both of them, b'pem mali v'tzech, compared to the Baal Shem Tov. What was the way the Baal Shem Tov looked at Jews? I love this idea. So it's Mamash Purim. How did the Baal Shem Tov look at Jews? Look at Aleph. B'chinas ha-Baal Shem Tov ha-Kadosh, sha'af sh'rav v'heven as-achatam sh'chotim klal Yisrael. The Baal Shem Tov looked at you, and he saw your averos, and he saw you were not holding in a good place. All right, not like Reb Zusha, who didn't see it, and not like Reb Levi Yitzchak, who saw it, but then made a whole story to explain it. The Baal Shem Tov looked at you, saw you were in a broken place, and he still loved you. Afal picha. Mikol makom av osam ava oza kamavas umaser nafsho lahamtik asadina me'aleim, and he still davened for you, and he still said you're beautiful. What did he see? It was like Rishon Berachah. He saw your averos are only on the surface. He could look to the Ginzei HaMelech and he could say, you're a beautiful person inside. You have a beautiful heart. The desires of your heart are good. Are mamish good. The only thing that's getting in your way is what? Is that we're living in a hard world. Rav Alexandri's tefillah in source number 12. Rav Alexandri, when he would finish Shmona Esrei, what would he say? Ribon HaOlam, Master of the World. Galoi V'yadua Lefanecha. You know full well. Shiritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha. You know I want to say Rotsani. You know I'm a good guy. You know I want to learn properly and daven properly and guard my eyes properly and give tzedakah properly and make brachos properly and not speak Lashon Hara. You know I'm a good guy. Umima Akiv. So what gets in the way? Rav Alexandri says, Su'ur Shebe'isa. It's the leaven in the dough, a little Pesach imagery. Yetzahara in my heart. V'shibur Malchios. And the fact that we're living in exile. Hashem, just get all these things that are trying to damage my heart away from me. Just leave my heart. If my heart would just be left alone, you'll see that it's good, Ribbono Shalom. You know that it's good. Sometimes if we have a chance in the morning when we're putting on our tefillin and we're not rushing, right? So maybe we have the chance to say that nice little Yiratzon. L'shem Yichud, and that beautiful little tefillah before we put on our tefillin. Rav Moshe Feinstein asked a gevaldik question. In the Darash, from the very back of the Darash Moshe, in the second volume, Rav Moshe asks a gevaldik question. Rav Moshe says, if you look at that tefillah, we say a very funny line. What do we say? Rav Moshe writes in source 11, Mashetiknu lomar v'yanichenu la'avodas Hashem ka'asher im levavim. Right? We ask Hashem to help us that just leave us to be able to serve Hashem, to serve you, Hashem, right? As we see fit in our hearts. So Moshe Feinstein, in his humility, says, what exactly are we saying? My time, a second line, my time alone is spalel. Why not daven? Shianichenu la'avod kasher tzarch la'avod. Right? I should serve you in accordance with my ability. I mean, that's where I'm holding. How about I should serve God the way that I'm supposed to serve Hashem? Shavadehu harbe yosem milavavenu. That's probably much higher than what currently is in my heart. Elakavoda sadike doros harishonim. I should serve Hashem like Rav Moshe Feinstein. I should serve Hashem like Moshe Rabbeinu. I should serve Hashem like Moshe Tzvi. That's not so exciting. What am I saying? What are we saying when we dive in that tefillah? He says, based on the Rambam that we mentioned before. He gives two answers, but in the second answer, he says, based on the Rambam. That, no, we're reminding ourselves before I strap my tefillin right opposite my heart that a Jewish heart is good, period. And if there's something that's blocking me from being that good Jew, it's Rav Alexandri's Tila. It's the Yitzhara. It's the fact that we're living in Gullus, right? But it's the realization that Be'emes, a Jewish heart is good. So let's come back to the Megillah just one last time and show you how much Hashem himself believes in this. The Chassam Sofer says a remarkable thing. The Chassam Sofer says, what was the miracle of Purim? Where's the moment where you say, wow, that was the miracle of Purim? You'll tell me what, the Jews got together and they davened and Hashem saved them. Do we not believe in davening? That's not the miracle of Purim, says the Chassam Sofer. That davening actually worked? We shouldn't be so shocked when davening works. That they fasted and it worked? That's not a miracle. That's how it's supposed to be. You know what the miracle of Purim is? Says the Chassam Sofer in Source 13. I'll tell you what the miracle of Purim is. The miracle of Purim is, why did Vashti refuse to come to Ahasuerus? Why did Ahasuerus ask such a crazy thing from his wife? And why did he get so upset? That's, okay, now we're getting somewhere. But then the Chassam Sofer writes, just look at where it's bolded at the end of Source 13. He says, you want to hear what the real miracle of Purim was? Va'oz b'yom shenerga Vashti lo hayu Yisrael tovim. Let's think about this for a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this crazy bug in Ahasuerus' head to ask something crazy of Vashti. And he put this crazy bug in Vashti's head that she refused the request of her husband, even though she was a perverse woman. And then he put this other idea in Ahasuerus' head that it was such an egregious crime that he has to kill his beloved Vashti, which he wakes up at the beginning of the second parak and he's all depressed because he killed Vashti. Right? And when was Hashem doing this? And why was Hashem doing this? Hashem was doing this to pave the way for Esther to be able to be in position to save Klal Yisrael when Haman comes to power. And when was Hashem doing this? As we were sitting and for bringing at a party celebrating the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's really what the party was. That Yirmiyahu's prophecy of 70 years was up. That Hashem had abandoned us. Jews, come, let's celebrate that. Come to the party. And we went to that party. You guys, how low that was? When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Talmidim asked, why were the Jews destroyed in that generation? He said, you tell me. They said, I think it's from the party. That was terrible. The party was a big bizayon. Says the Chassam Sofer, look at this. At the time that Vashti is killed, lo hayu Yisrael tovim. On the surface, the Jews were not good at all. Shareinenu misuda soshalo sarasha. V'lo hayu ru'uyim lenes. They didn't deserve divine favor in that moment. They didn't deserve special protection in that moment. That Vashti should be killed as they're sitting there, eating at that party, drinking at that party. They did deserve to be put to death. They deserve the punishment. They abandoned God. Hashem abandons them back. At the very moment they were rebelling against Hashem, Hashem had rachmanis on them. To teach us that banim mashchisim, that children who sometimes act in a destructive, in a corrupted way, afilu b'shosh mashchisim, even when we're destroyers, even when we're not making Hashem proud, but my child is still my child. Banim chavivim hem l'Hashem. That's the miracle of Purim, says Chassam Sofer. That dafka in that lowest moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still chose us in that moment. And I think that maybe in the final source, I think that's maybe the secret also of the drinking of Purim. Again, everyone should figure out the right mahalach in that and should do it l'shem shemayim or not do it l'shem shemayim, whatever it is. A person has to do it in a smart way, in an appropriate way. But the Gemara in Pesachim says on Kuf Yud Gimel, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alvan. There's three people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. One who doesn't get angry. The last one, one who doesn't, not mamid al midosav, a person who's willing to forgive and forget. Right? And the middle one, umisha eno mishtaker, a person who doesn't get drunk. Hashem loves a person who's not an alcoholic. So dafka on Purim, we become a bunch of alcoholics. Do we want Hashem to not love me? I think in some very subtle way, we're saying, Rabbona Sholem, I know you're going to love me no matter what. I'm going to do something that I know you don't love. Hopefully we'll do it l'shem shemayim and it'll come out in a beautiful way. It'll be a day of pouring out our heart in a very real and sincere way. But why would I dabble with something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like at all? The answer is because I'm reminding myself that even when I'm not, like again, like the Malchus Shlomo said, like Shlomo Tursky said, that when I lose my, I throw away the thing that makes me chash of a mensch, my mind, my ability to reason, my ability to speak clearly, right? And I remove the das and I tap into the Jewish heart. And something beautiful comes out. Right? Even in that funny kind of way, I'm saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm reminding myself really that my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not based on really anything. And again, a person could abuse this entire shiur. Let's be honest. Let's be straight. I want to be super clear about that. A person could say, Hashem loves me and therefore I can do whatever I want. That's a total perversion of this sugya. Right? Of course we have to try to make our parents proud. We make Ribbono Shel Olam proud. Right? We try to live an elevated existence. But one day a year, on Purim, the same way on Yom Kippur, we bring out our best self. On Purim, in a certain way, we bring out a very funny version of ourselves. I'm walking around dressed up like a giant banana or a hot dog or a gorilla, right? Or whatever. And I look at another Jew, and I love that person. I don't care what he looks like on the outside, because I see his Ginzei HaMelech. I see he's a deep person on the inside. So I want to just end with this incredible maisa from the Lubavitch Rebbe. This unbelievable maisa. It's really unbelievable. There was a Yid named Moshe Levy, maybe. He's a sergeant in the IDF during the Yom Kippur War. And the maisa goes that he was in a bunker on the Suez Canal. That was like the last stronghold, you know, protecting from the Egyptian army. He was one of 40 people, it says here, he was one of 40 people to be awarded the Israel Hero Medal, Israel's highest decoration for valor in combat. So he says, a few days after the war began, Moshe's unit received word that the Egyptian army was advancing quickly on their position, which was the only fortification between the Egyptians and Tel Aviv. They didn't have nearly enough weapons to face off against tanks. One brave soldier asked for permission to speak. "Have emunah in Hashem," he cried with his entire being, as only one who stares death in the eye can. "Do you know how we'll ward off the enemy?" he continued with emotions. He held up a book of Tehillim with our heartfelt tefillos to the Almighty. His words penetrated their hearts. Moshe Levy, experiencing emunah for the first time, made a vow to Hashem, "Master of the world, if we make it out of this hellhole alive, I promise to wear tefillin every day for the rest of my life." That is something that we've seen quite a bit in recent months. In an explosive flash of sound and fury, dust and metal, it was over. By a miracle, the Egyptians had been rebuffed. But Moshe, who had made a vow to Hashem, had been injured. He had lost an arm. His left arm, in fact. The arm upon which tefillin are wrapped. Imagine? He was totally broken. It was too much to bear. Could Hashem be mocking him? The new faith he had just discovered threatened to disappear. He visited numerous rabbanim with his burning question, how could God take the very arm with which he had hoped to bind himself to Hashem? The answers he was given did not satisfy his tortured soul, and he sank deeper into despair. All of that changed in one late night meeting with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in which Moshe told him his story. Together they cried. The Rebbe then gently said, perhaps this is Hashem's way of telling you that his relationship with you is unconditional. Imagine? He loves you not for what you may or may not do, but simply as you are, like a parent loves a child. Only the Bavitcher Rebbe could say that. Someone could say that, and it could be as upsetting as any of the other answers he probably got. But from the loving heart of the Bavitcher Rebbe, who sat there and cried with him over such a tragic loss, he said, again, he was able to somehow say it in such a deep and real way, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need you to wear tefillin for God to love you. Hashem wants us to wear tefillin. Hashem wants us to wear tefillin. But like a parent loves a child, it's not based on anything. And he concludes the story here. Moshe's arm would never come back, but in that moment his heart began to heal. And that's the secret of Purim. That's the eternity of the Megillah. That's the eternity of Klal Yisrael. That's the eternity of Purim. And that's the beautiful Jewish heart that we're trying to allow itself to emerge in Purim. That Ad lo yada, I remove my das. And I allow the Ginzei HaMelech to be revealed for all to see. Okay. Freilich and other. Shkaya. Shkaya Chavah. Thanks for coming.
Keep the help. Move the tables back.
Yeah. There's Marav.